Amen. There is such a momentum in the spirit. Just tune into it. Keep going higher in the Lord. Glory to God. No matter what you're going through, I know that you can stand. For your life is in His hands. Listen.
Don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Troubles, they don't last always. For there's a friend in Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, for I know that I can make it.
Come on.
I know that I can stand.
Up a hand and give him praise.
No matter what may come my way.
Oh, yes.
My life is in your hands.
You don't have to worry.
You don't have to worry.
And don't you be afraid.
And don't you be afraid.
Joy comes in the morning.
Joy comes in the morning.
Troubles.
Troubles, they don't last always.
But there is a friend in Jesus.
For there's a friend in Jesus.
Who'll wipe every
who
tear.
Will wipe your tears away.
And if your heart is broken.
And if your heart is broken.
Just lift your hands and say.
Just lift your hands.
Say, I know that I can make it.
I know that I can make it.
I know that I can stay.
I know that I can.
Test and trials.
Your test and trials.
They seem to get you
they
down.
They seem to get you down.
And all of your friends and loved
all
ones.
Your friends and loved ones.
They're nowhere to be found.
Are nowhere to be found.
I just want you to remember that there's a friend
like
in
there's
Jesus.
A friend in Jesus.
He'll wipe every tear.
Who will wipe your tears away.
And if your heart is
and
broken.
If your heart is
come on.
Broken.
Lift your hands and say,
just
come on, do it right now.
Say,
I know that I can make it.
I know that I can make it.
I know that I can make
it. I know that I can stay.
No matter what comes
no
my
matter
way.
What
oh,
may
yes.
come my way.
My
life is in yeah. your hands.
With she with Jesus,
with
I can
Jesus, I can take it.
With him?
With him. Stand. I know that I
no matter
can
the circumstances, no matter
no
the situation.
Matter.
just don't understand what's going on in my life.
Life is in your hands.
You've got to tell the Lord that my life. Hallelujah. I think somebody ought to praise him here tonight. I think somebody here ought to recognize that he's a sovereign God. I think that somebody needs to think about how good he is to us, how he wakes us up this morning, how he starts us on our way. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Appreciate the choir tonight and the praise singers and the musicians and the choir leader. Sister Lindsay's doing a good job with the music in the house. And she's got a flock of little musicians coming up behind her. It's scary. Influence. Praise God. Feels so sweet in the house tonight. We're going to open the book at Psalms 132. Continuing to make our way through the Psalms. And God is talking about us, talking to us about some phenomenal things. Preparing us for a harvest. Praise God. Psalms 132. Lord, remember David in all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up to my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephrata. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacle. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, unto thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servants David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. And if you love his word tonight, let's give him praise and thanks for his word forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. We magnify you, Lord. We bless your name, oh God. Thank you for your word. Praise God. Praise God. A sure foundation, a construct and a definition for us, the word of God gives, that'll hold up in any age and in any generation. I'm so glad God sends his word to every generation. I'm so glad there was a word when you and I came to God. Praise God. It's the word of God that shapes you and makes you the people of God. The Holy Ghost is powerful and awesome, but without the word of God to define you and shape you, the Holy Ghost won't last you a week. It won't serve you toward eternity. I don't diminish the power of the Holy Ghost, but Jesus told the woman, you have to worship in spirit and in truth. God brought them out of Egypt in one night, but they spent over 2 years at the foot of Sinai becoming the people of God. Praise God. So we appreciate his word tonight. It's an awesome privilege to be able to handle it. And tonight we want to look at this 132nd Psalm. David has a desire, and it was expressed in 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, and also in 1 Chronicles 17. These words or these chapters are corresponding to one another, telling the same narrative story. And David brings Nathan the prophet in, and he said, I'm living in a house of cedar. I've got a fine home now. He's conquered all his enemies. God's given him rest from all the affliction. Things are very good. This is a fabulous season in David's life. And David proclaims, I won't close my eyes. I'm not going to be able to rest until I find out a habitation for the Lord. And in the Psalms here, the psalmist brings up that dialogue between David and Nathan. And Nathan turned to David and said, go and do all that is in your heart. He gave him a green light from the Lord. And the word of God came to David by Nathan and said, not only are you going to build me a house, but I'm going to make you a house. And in these chapters in 2 Samuel and in 1 Chronicle, God begins to lay forth his plan. And he said, not only are you going to be the builder of the temple, but he said, I'm going to raise up out of your loins, out of your descendants, I'm going to raise up somebody that's always going to be the representative of the kingdom of God. And ultimately, he was prophesying the coming of the Christ out of the lineage of David. Praise God. David said, I've got to build God a house. I have a desire to build God a house. And when God heard that, he said, that may happen. I'm gonna lay my hand on you though, and I'm gonna make you a house. I want you to know that you can't make up your mind to build a habitation for God without God saying, I'm gonna make something out of you. You can't set aside your life and your goods and your time to say, I'm going to add to the kingdom of God without God saying, I'm going to make something out of you. The story of the prophet coming through in the days of the prophets, and the little woman looks out and tells her husband, I perceive this is a prophet of God. And they build a little quarters on the house for the prophet of God so that when he travels by, he'll have a little bed and a little table and a place to stay and a place to eat and a little lamp on the table. And when that was accomplished and he began to come and be a regular there, I'm telling you, you can't make room for God in your life in a permanent way. We don't want God to just drop by every now and then. We don't want God to be a transient in our life. But like the little woman, we recognize the power of the word of God. And I don't want it to come to visit. I want it to come to live. I don't want him to just pass by. I don't want to just be singing the song, God is passing by this way. I want God to come in and make himself at home. I want to build a habitation for God. David said, I got it in me. I've got a passion for it. Got a desire. I want to build a house for God. And God says, you will. And he said, and I'm going to make you a house. He was talking about his descendancy. He was talking about the Christ. And he was talking about an emerging church. It's an incredible passage of prophecy. David is so wound up in the prophecies concerning the Christ. Peter, on the first day of the church, reaches back and touches David and uses him as the prophet to explain the resurrection. And David is heavily invested in prophetic fulfillment concerning the Christ and the incarnation of God. Now, the fulfillment in the natural of this was Solomon's temple. And David had too much war in his past and too much blood on his hands. But David was able to gather all the materials, the gold and the silver and the cedar. And he had the connections and he built the trade routes and he had the commerce in place for the building of what was a wonder of the world in Solomon's temple. And this passage is fulfilled in the natural in Solomon's temple. It was fulfilled prophetically in David in the emergence or the advent of the Christ, because the Christ came out of the lineage of David. And if you follow the genealogy given in Matthew and the genealogy given in Luke, you find Joseph and Mary are both in the lineage of David. And the Christ comes out of that house. And I know he wasn't Joseph's natural seed, but God just had it covered. Everybody in charge of that baby was going to be out of the house of David. Praise God. And when the blind man cries out on the road for the Savior to turn and heal him, he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. So this psalm or this desire to build a house for God is brought into fruition in Solomon's temple. And in 1,000 years, it is fulfilled in the coming of the Christ. The two of them together, we find in John chapter 2, and the temple, and the temple which is the body of the Christ, come together. John chapter 2 and beginning in verse 18. And then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showeth thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. They were in Jerusalem. They were literally under the shadow of the temple wall. And they wanted some sort of a signal from him or a sign to affirm him as he was giving advice and doctrine and teaching with authority. He said, I'll give you a sign. Tear down this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. They looked at him astonished and they said, it took 46 years to build this temple, and will you rear it up in 3 days? But John gives us the answer. John said, but he spake of the temple of his body. Everybody say the body of Jesus. The body of Jesus Christ was the temple of the Most High God. Listen to me. If you've ever had any questions about that, all you got to do is ask yourself the question, who lived in the temple? Whose house was that? Well, Jesus or God lived in the temple. It was God's house. Well, who lived in the temple of the body of the Christ? Well, God lived in the temple of the body of the Christ. It was God's house on the earth. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He was the temple of God, made after the fashion of a man. He was the Almighty, the everlasting Father. In a man's body, he was the seed of David. David said, I want to make a house for you, God. God said, well, I'm going to let Solomon build a house for me, but I'm going to use you. I'm going to make you a house. The very genetic quality of David passed down through the years and was bound up in that body of the Christ. Praise God. And in the in this 132nd Psalm, we see something curious break forth after David's expression of desire. I want to build a house for the Lord. I want to build a temple for God. But in verse 6, the word of God in Psalms 132, lo, we heard of it. There's a shift here. David is saying, I want to build a house. I won't come into my home or go up to my bed. I won't give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids. Verse 5, till I find a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Well, we know and understand that David was responsible for Solomon building the temple on Mount Zion, the physical temple in the city of Jerusalem. But we get a breach here in the 6th verse, and somebody begins to say, lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields. What did you find at Ephratah? What did you find in the fields of the wood? What did you hear of at Ephratah? We will go to his tabernacles. We'll worship at his footstool. You're going to do that in Ephratah? Yeah. Ephratah is Bethlehem. Ephratah is the city of David. But Ephratah is where the second temple came from. Ephratah is where the little temple of the body of the Christ was going to be born in a manger. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it. What did you find there? We found the tabernacle of God. This is none other than the song of the shepherds. When the sky was illuminated with the singing of the angels, they said, unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior. Go down into the city. This will be a sign unto you. You're going to find him in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And they made their way down and they found a little baby, a little bundle lying in a manger. But it wasn't an ordinary baby. It was something much greater than that. It was the seed of David that God had made into a house. It was the seed of David that God had penetrated and now was living in. Wise men came, the shepherd came, they found it at Ephratah in the fields of the wood. We'll go into his tabernacles, we'll worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, unto thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. This is the song of the shepherds, of those who worship the Christ child. And this is the song of the church. This is the song of the church. We found it. We heard of it. My God, we're calling to you tonight. We'll go to his tabernacles. We'll worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, unto thy rest. Thou, I can hear as we're worshiping tonight, I can hear the echoes of worship unto the only true and living God bouncing off the walls and running through the marble halls and reflected off the gold in the temple of Solomon. I can hear it pouring down through the centuries. God is already always prepared a place for his people to come and worship. But Jesus told the woman at the well, it's not one day going to be in Jerusalem anymore, but it's going to be at a place called Spirit and a place called Truth. And tonight we gather around his tabernacles and we gather around his word, and we're in this house together, and his priests are clothed with righteousness and his saints are shouting for joy. Well, praise God. Let's give him a hand praise of worship. Praise God. Oh, come on, this thing was never meant to be dead, dull, and dry, and academic and cerebral. This thing was meant to be righteous in power. The NIV said, let them sing aloud, but I want you to know the sometimes the King James just touches it just right. Anytime you've ever been around the church always has a shout connected with it. My God, sometimes it's just not enough to, in a composed way, sing the song, but sometimes you just gotta have a shout about it. My God, in a prayer room when the Holy Ghost comes down, it's not enough just to know and to pray a learned prayer. But sometimes that river of Holy Ghost just gets all over me and I've got to shout about it. My God, is there a shouter in the house tonight? Is there anybody that can identify and let his saints shout for glory? And it's not just a verbalization. Shouting is not just utterance. Shouting is a full body experience. Sometimes it's just the indication of a shout. Whoa! That's right, you got it, Brother Lou. And it's not learned behavior. Anywhere I go, Central America or Mexico or the Philippines or any place in the United States I've ever been, people that have been in it 20 years, people that have been in it 1 year, maybe 6 months, something got a hold of me. My God, I went to a meeting one night. My heart wasn't right, but something got a hold. It's still got a hold of me. It's got me and it won't let me go. My God. And I'm glad and I love it and I wouldn't have it any other way. Come on. Is there a shouter in the house tonight? Let his saints shout for glory. Well, praise God. My God. Sometimes you just need to let yourself go. When you feel that first rush hit you, just plug into it. Go in whatever direction it's going. You'll be amazed at where it might take you. I feel it crawling all over the house right now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'll tell you this. There was a shout in the house of Solomon. There was a shout in that body of the Christ. When the 70 came back and they told Jesus what they'd been doing, when the 12 came back and they reported it, the Bible said he was beside himself. Now you do with that what you want, but I'm apostolic. I've already been to a Pentecostal church. It doesn't mean he was schizophrenic. If you're a Trinitarian tonight and you think the right hand of God means there's a God standing by a God, then you think Jesus was standing by Jesus. Because you take everything literally and physically and spatially, and you brought God down from his level down to your level so that you can measure and weigh him. But Jesus was beside himself. I think he just had a fit right there in the road. I'm loving this. I put my anointing on them, and they're praying for other people. I put my anointing on them, and they're laying hands on the sick. I put my anointing on them, and they're preaching the gospel to the poor. Whoa! You don't think that that wow factor just kind of happens in you. You don't think, no. All of this good stuff we have, the joy and the peace and the goodness of it, it all comes from him. This is indicative of his nature. This shout you're feeling, this shout comes from him. When he comes back, he's coming back with a shout. All right, it's time. Woo! I'm going to get him. Blow the trumpet, Gabriel. But I digress. Praise God. In verse 13 of Psalms 132. The Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. Everybody say his habitation. That's what David wanted to build. He had a passion, a desire. There's a question in the house tonight. Do you have a desire to build a house for the Lord? His house. His house. His house. Your house, if it's a right house, is his house. There's a lot of house building to do when you're talking about building a house for the Lord. Did I traffic that by you too quickly? Praise God. Is there anybody here got a passion to build up a house for the Lord where there's righteousness and there's the shout of joy? Well, praise God. Verse 14, speaking of Zion, God said, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell. I'm going to live here. God says, I like the house. I'm going to live here. I've chosen this place. I'm going to live here. I've desired it. God wants to live in a house. Praise God. I'll abundantly bless it. And here's what he does when God comes to live in a place. 15, I'll abundantly bless her provision. My God, I want that in my house. And I want that in my house. And I want that in this house. I'll abundantly bless her provision. I'll satisfy her poor with bread. 16, I'll clothe her priest with salvation. I want that in my house. And her saints shall shout aloud. There it is again. Her saints shall shout aloud for joy. I want that in my house. I want it in this house. I want the blessing of God. I want the goodness of God. I want God to say, that's what I want. I'm going to come live there. My God, when I came to an altar, I didn't come to say, Jesus, come visit me for a little while until I get my problems all straightened out. But I came and said, God, I want you to come and live here. And then when it's time, I want to come live with you forever. I want to move in with him. I want him to move in with me. I want him here every time we open the door. On Wednesday night, we need God living in the house. On Sunday morning, we need God living in the house. Praise God. Is there anybody got a passion to build up a house for the Lord? David said, Nathan, I can't stand it. I'm living good and God's living in a tent. Nobody's made a place for him worthy of him. Some little old junky place. God doesn't need to live in a trashed out junky place. I mean, if you're a Filipino on the top of a mountain and all you got's Nipa hut, if you're a third worlder and all you got's a little adobe place, give God your best. Shame on us if we build up our natural lives and we don't have a passion to build a house for the Lord. My God, and I'm working both sides of the aisle here. I'm working. We're going to build a spiritual house and we're going to build a natural house. We're going to build a spiritual house that God says, I like that. And you know, when he hears the commitment coming from you, he says, you're going to do that. I'm going to let you build that house. And I'm going to make a house out of you. David couldn't reach down 1,000 years, but God propagated his power and his promise through David over the course of 1,000 years. Praise God. Praise God. My God, I feel Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Praise God. The natural house is spiritual. The natural house is full of things spiritual. But there is a natural house and there is a spiritual house. I will clothe her priests with salvations. Her saints shall shout aloud for joy. And there will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame. But upon himself shall his crown flourish. Praise God. This is natural and this is spiritual. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, and we know and we understand that we are not come to the mountain of Zion or Sion, where Moses went and the people went, but we are come to Mount Zion, verse 22 of Hebrews 12. You're come to Mount Zion. Everybody say, I'm come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And to an innumerable company of angels. I got everywhere God builds a house and everywhere someone builds one for him, there's an innumerable company of angels. I want that in this house. I want that in my house. To the general assembly, would you say that? And church of the firstborn. Praise God. He identifies this spiritual heavenly Zion as the church of the firstborn. As we're building up this church, we're building up Zion. God said, that's where I'm going to dwell. And I just got to tell you, there's a natural Zion there in that raised area of Jerusalem. And there's a spiritual Zion that's wrapped itself all around the earth. And God said, that's what I love. And that's where I'm going to dwell. There are some cities where there's no Zion. There's some cities where there's no church, where there's no house for God to live in. But in the city of Birmingham tonight, we've come together to say there's going to be a house of God in this place. I'm going to build up my house. I'm going to build up your house. We're going to build up this house, and the promise and the blessing of God are going to come down in this place, and the priests are going to be clothed with righteousness, and the saints are going to shout for joy. Well, praise God. Ephesians chapter 2, and he talks to us about how it works and about how the church is a temple and a habitation for God. Ephesians chapter 2, and beginning with verse 19, everyone say, now therefore, I am no more a stranger. We're just personalizing it. I'm no more a foreigner. But I'm a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. And I'm built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Give somebody a high five and say, I still believe the Acts 2:38 message. I still believe it takes repentance. Tell somebody, and water baptism in the name. And I believe it takes getting the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues. Well, praise God. No more a stranger or a foreigner, but I'm a fellow citizen with the saints and the household of God. And the reason we are his house is because we're built upon the rock, the foundation. We are not Catholic. We are not Protestant. We are apostolic tonight. We rattle our chain back to an upper room on the day of Pentecost. He said, on this rock will I build my church. If it's not on that rock, it's not the church. But I'm glad tonight that we've got a passion to build a house for the Lord on the rock, Christ Jesus. Say, Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. You can't build a house for God without Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. You can't build a house for God and it not be defined and shaped and framed by the word of the living God. You can build something. You can build a zoo. You can build a community center. You can build a fellowship hall. But you can't build a church, not God's church. You can't build a house for God in any other way. Gotta be on the rock. Gotta be the cornerstone, Christ Jesus. Gotta be by the specifications of the word of God. In whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So we, as we come together here, we are built together as a, everybody say, a holy temple for the Lord. David built a house. David became a house. Jesus was that house. Christ was that house. But he was just the prototype. He was the prototypical body. He was the first one to be raised from the dead forevermore. But then on the day of Pentecost, he breathed into 120 and they became the first fruits. It was the first fruits. It was the Pentecost gathering. And they became the seed bed for all that city to catch ablaze, and then on to Judea and Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. This thing's been cranking on for 2,000 years. And some would say, well, it's changed and it's diluted and it's nothing. Let me tell you something. An acorn produced an oak tree in AD 1. And an acorn from that oak tree produced another oak tree in AD 30. And an acorn from that oak tree produced another oak tree. Now this was established in Genesis. Seed bearing after its kind. You don't get something else when you've got the right seed. You don't raise up something else when you've got the right seed. And by AD 100 or AD 500, you still have oak trees growing up from that first oak tree. And somewhere in the woods around your house, there's an oak tree. And it's an oak tree. Got the same genetic quality. Came from the same acorn family. And it just projected itself right on down. I'm going to tell you what this is tonight, folks. This is an apostolic church. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Set up on the cornerstone of the Christ himself. You say, well, it's got to be watered down after all those years. No, sir. Same Holy Ghost. Somebody got the Holy Ghost in AD, whatever, 33. And then they were handling the gospel and they were handling the name. And the gospel is the same. And the name is the same. And the Holy Ghost is the same. And the church. But this is getting to be a pretty big house by now. Because they were building the first wing on it in first century Jerusalem. And they built a wing over in Samaria. And they started building a wing down at Cornelius' house. And at Ephesus, they began to build on it. It has been building all this time. You say, well, the church has been building. The Bible says that of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. His house is always growing. His house is always being built. The building on the house, this is one of those eternal construction jobs. This thing never slows down. Well, what about the dark ages? Well, we didn't write the history book in the dark ages, but the word of God said there was a church there. Well, praise God. Question is, do you believe the word? Or do you think the church disappeared? Let me tell you what. God has always had a house. God's always had a people. God's always indwelled in his church and in his believers. Praise God. Praise God. The whole building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple. We are, and I know it's true, Paul says so. What, know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You as an individual are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But you don't gain viability in the Word of God unless you're connected with the corporate body, the church of the living God. You got to hear, you're just a brick out there all by yourself. You got to be connected with the body. Come on, do you have a desire to build up the house? Your house, God's house. Praise God. In whom, verse 22, everybody say, in whom? I'm also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Shake your neighbor and go, ooh, God's living in us. Now that's what ought to make you shout a little bit. Whoa, God's living in us. My God. Oh no, you didn't even nearly get a hold of that. You got to get a hold of this. The devil's been lying to you. The world's been pressuring you. Trouble's been knocking on your door. But you need to say, I'm not worried about any of this. God is living here. Well, praise God. Praise God. I want to build a house. And I'm not just talking about a building. Because we want to give God our best here, but this building doesn't matter. It's what I'm looking at, standing and seated throughout this house. And the only reason we need a bigger building is to put more of the body, the habitation, to put more of the temple in it. Praise God. I want to build the house. Is anybody in the house have a desire? You want to build up the house of God? Why don't you shake your neighbor and tell him, I want to be a house builder for God. I want to build up the house of the living God. Praise God. I want you to know that as it was with David, you can't lay your hands to building the house of God without God building you as a house. He said literally, he said, David, I'm going to make you a house. So what he's saying is, I'm going to come live in you, David. And he did. 1,000 years later, he lives in the Christ, the seed of David. Ezra will tell you that house building will define you and will define your life. They come to Ezra and they ask, who are you and what do you think you're doing? These ruins have lain for 70 years and more. What do you think you're doing in here? He said, we are the people of the Most High God, and we build up the house that was builded long ago. Praise God. What do you people think you're doing? Do you think honestly that you can build an apostolic church in the city of Birmingham? Do you really think that after all this time and in this troubled place where there's been great saints, there's been great churches, but there's never been anything here in this city in an apostolic frame like what they're growing out in some other places. Now, there's some people that just tell you, well, you just got to trim down and build a little garden house for God here, because it just won't grow here. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I remember when we were over in the other building and I was considering expanding over there or going ahead and hanging this one. And I'm walking around in that little downstairs Sunday school area and I'm talking to God about it. And it's just middle of the day. I don't even know why I was over there. And I'm walking through and I'm just talking to him about it. And I'm, well, God, You know that we don't care. We'll just do whatever you tell us. And don't have any agenda. Just want to do what you want. So God, would you just... And he says, 1 Chronicles 28:10. I said, well, hold on. Let me find a Bible. Can you do 1 Chronicles 28:10? Andrew? And so I went and got a Bible. I'm asking him, should we go ahead and build this place? Is it the right time? And he said, 1 Chronicles 28:10, if you'd have held a gun to my head, I couldn't have told you what that scripture said. But he said, I've chosen to build a house for the sanctuary. And frankly, he just said, just do it. Well, praise God. But this building is not what he and I were communicating about. This is just a wing. This is just a part. This is just a room. And we who are gathered here tonight, we're just the beginning. I'm just telling you, we're just the beginning of what God wants to do in this city and in your school. And on your job site. And in your family. My God. He wants that shout to grow. I'm glad for the shout that's here. I'm glad for the priests that are clothed in righteousness. I'm glad for the salvation that's here. But this is just a little of what God has a desire to do in this city. Is there anybody in this place that has a desire to build up the house of God? Praise God. I want to build this thing, God. I want to build this. There's a criteria here in this psalm. And I'm about to turn you loose. In this psalm, there's a criteria. 132:9. Let the priest be clothed with righteousness. In the house of God, the priest have to be clothed with righteousness. 1 Peter 2:9 says you're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. You're a holy nation. We are the priesthood of God. Shake your neighbor and tell him, I be the priesthood of God. That's exactly right. And we've got to be clothed in righteousness. Now he says he'll do that where his house is. Praise. Does anybody here have a passion to build up the house of God? Praise God. I want to build your house, oh God. How many of you understand the word of God when it says God inhabits the praises of his people? You want to build a habitation for God? You've got to be a praising people. A Wednesday night. My God, we don't need a dead service between now and the coming of the Lord. You ought to take ownership of that. When you walk in this house and you lay your fire down in front of this pulpit, you ought to say there's not going to be a dead service. If I'm the only one that makes the difference, I'll make the difference, but it's too late in the dispensation to sit down and get cold. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. You say, Brother Sutton, you're just pushing us. We worship God. I am pushing you. I am pushing you because the flesh will rise up and gradualism will work and you'll lose your fire. Before it's over, you'll be down here saying, what are we? We're the difference. What are we going to do? We'll make a difference. Oh, what's the difference? No, but where you found the house of God, you find the saints shout for joy. It's just part of the criteria. There's always a shout in the house of God. Anybody here want to build up the house? You build up the praise. You want to build up the house? You build up the righteousness. You want to build up the house? Come on, I said, do you want to build up the house? The apostle says the strength comes from, it is compacted or it's strengthened by the strength that every joint supplies. bump up, put your shoulder against your neighbor's shoulder and tell them it's our relationship that makes the house of God strong. Praise God. You want to build up the house of God? You got to build up that person you're leaning on right there. You want to build up the house of God? You got to build up that brother. You got to build up that sister. You've got to build up that family. Well, praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Don't wait for your mama. Don't wait for your daddy. Don't wait for somebody to lead you. Just say, I'm going to do this. I'm like David. I'm not going to sleep. I can't get any rest until I build up the house of God. I can't stand it that God doesn't have a church of 1,000 in Birmingham. I can't stand it. I can't stand it that we haven't had 100 get the Holy Ghost in one service yet. I am not satisfied with 100 people getting the Holy Ghost in a year. It's May. Sister Elise, how many do we have so far this year? Do you know? This is, oh, we'll take your word for it. She says she thinks over 50. Elise's junior sister butler. She's our junior scribe. We had 8 people get baptized within the last week. Go down in the water in Jesus' name. Come on now, church. Come on. That's good. I'm excited. I love it. We're on track to have over 100 filled with the Holy Ghost this year, but I'm tired of 100 getting the Holy Ghost every year. I'm tired of only 120 getting the Holy Ghost every year. Do you see what it means? We've had over 100 get the Holy Ghost for the last 10, 12 years around here. And you got to do that just to keep it going. You got to do that just to keep it going. Does anybody have a passion to build this thing? I'm not satisfied with where we are. I'm not satisfied with what we are. I want to see God reach down here and fill this place with His glory. How many of you have your tens list with you right now? How many of you have prayed over it? God, I want you to take that thing and make it. If you hadn't filled it out, fill it out tonight. You say, well, I don't know 10 people. Put Donald Duck and Elmer Fudd on it. Put something on it. Don't leave it blank. Put somebody on it. Then I want you to begin to take it on task. Pray for it every day. God, bring them. God, draw them. Do you believe God can draw them? Do you believe God can bring them? Do you believe? I'm telling you, if we'll do this, God will fill 100 people with the Holy Ghost in one service. But do you have a passion to build up the house of God? It doesn't happen just because you want it to happen. It doesn't happen just because you think that'd be cool. It happens because tomorrow you break out your tens list. You break out the telephone and you start harassing people. I don't care how you get them here, but if you can get them here, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will. Do you know the story of when Saul's going to Ramah at Naoth and he sends soldiers and all the soldiers fall out prophesying? That's like New Testament talking in tongues. The second wave, they fall out prophesying. The third wave, they fall out prophesying. And then Saul himself, he comes and he falls out, lies on the ground all night long prophesying. Overwhelmed by the Holy Ghost. What happened there? David and Samuel and the school of prophets, they were prophesying. They had a flow of the Holy Ghost. And when people with wicked intent, I'm just telling you, if we do this right, Al-Qaeda can come in the back door with explosives and shotguns and they'll fall out and get the Holy Ghost. If we do this right, the terror of the Lord will come upon them and they'll... The variable is not what's outside. There's a question in the house. Is there anybody in the house tonight that has a passion to build up the house of the Lord. Let's stand together. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want to build it in number. I want to build another a room. I want to build another wing. And I'm not talking about another physical building. We'll have to do that to house it. Praise God. But I'll just tell you this. There's another Travis in this city. Another Dakota in this city. Praise God. Praise God. There's another one of you. There's another Joe Meehan in this city. There's another Larry Booker in this town. There's another Gary Ellis in this town. There's a John Wolfram in this town. There's a Cornelius here. Praise God. There's another Kim Pintaro that's 19 years old and hungry for God and doesn't know how to find him. Praise God. There's another Reggie Smith, a little scrawny, freckle-faced, red-headed kid that just kind of passed through the Bible study. But something got a hold of me. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost. My God. Anybody want to build up? Come on, let's come down around the altar tonight. When you get down here tonight, just begin to tell God, God, David said it, and you responded, I want to build up the house of God. Would you just begin to tell him that right now? I want somebody to begin to shout about it a little bit right now. Go ahead. If you need more room, step up, step back, whatever you got to do. But I want somebody to begin to pray that prayer to God. God, I want to build you a house right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. At the Smoothie Joe's gathering on Saturday, they got 5 new people that want a Bible study. Hey, somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. They're building up the house of the Lord. My God. Come on now, pray the prayer and then shout the shout. That's what we're doing right here. This is a workshop. Pray the prayer and then shout the shout. His saints shout for joy. Praise God. You need to take somebody by the hand and say, come on, shout with me. This is the let's build a house shout. Church, somebody be a vessel right now. God's building up the house right now. Oh, come on. Something's happening right over here, church. Why don't you let the Holy Ghost flow through your vessel? Get yourself a little prayer partner. Get yourself a dancing partner. Worship God a little in the house.